Well, I hope you're able to attend the Holy Spirit Conference with Tim and Rochelle Enloe. Man, just those were just such powerful services. Every time I'm around Tim, I'm just more and more impressed with his knowledge and just his sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Anyway, so thanks for supporting those services with your attendance and your prayers and your financial support. People were baptized in the Holy Spirit. Others took new steps in being used in the gifts of the Spirit. I heard at least one lovely testimony of healing. And so it was an anointed time. And then what a special evening as 21 people were baptized in water on Wednesday evening. And wasn't that, if you were here Wednesday night, what a great time. And man, I'm just so thankful for changed lives and for the next generation coming up. We had about 14 or 15, I think, that were students from 5 or 6 to college age or whatever, and then had one that was 82, so anyway, it was just a wonderful night, which leads me to the question for this morning and to this message. After all that happened this week, the question is, what's next? What now? What are we gonna, you know, what happens now? We spent 8 weeks talking about the Acts 1 church and living in expectation of what Jesus had said to them, especially with regard to the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so just to remind you, Jesus said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Sure enough, a couple of weeks later, on the day of Pentecost, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, as Luke tells us in Acts chapter 2. And they waited, as Jesus said, in expectation. They received this gift of Spirit baptism, but for the disciples in Acts 2, and for all of us today, after the meetings this week, after an encounter with the Holy Spirit, the question is, well, what do we do now? What's next? What now? How, you know, what's the purpose of all this? And let me quickly say, there are many benefits to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the initial, the way the AG says it, with the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues. Jesus said we would receive power with Spirit baptism. That is spiritual power to be like Jesus and to do what he commands us to do. Spiritual power to be his witnesses. And there are certainly a host of other benefits. We experience Jesus in a deeper fashion. The Word of God comes alive to us in new ways. Our spiritual understanding is deepened. We have power to overcome sin. We have an entrance into the gifts and the working, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There's intercession of the Holy Spirit through prayer in a heavenly language, the building up of our faith as we pray in the Spirit. And the list can go on in terms of the personal benefits, individual benefits of Spirit baptism. However, Jesus said in Acts 1:8, "But you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So he specifically says, in answer to the question, what now, Jesus indicates the primary answer, the primary reason for the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to make us witnesses. Power to be his witnesses. And I want to look at that just a little deeper this morning. So what do you think of when you think of being a witness? So the first thing that when I hear the word witness, I don't typically think of somebody on the witness stand in a courtroom or whatever. I think of knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. You know, that, I mean, that's the first thing in my head. It's not something that happens as much anymore, unless you, at least now among evangelicals, happens more with Jehovah's Witness and whoever else that are still knocking on doors. But I can remember as a teenager knocking on doors around this neighborhood. "Hi, my name's Phil, and I go to the church just over the hill, Carbondale Assembly of God, and I wonder if you've got just a minute for me to tell you about Jesus." You usually got that response. They're usually pretty quick to tell you, "I'm a Baptist, I'm Catholic," whatever, and they'd close the door. Like, "Well, that doesn't matter, I just want to tell you." "Oh, okay, thank you very much." Or we tried, "Hi, I'm Phil, I go to the church around the corner, I just wonder if there's something we could pray with you about." "Nope." So anyway, so that's what I think of as witness. Oh, that's where you're going to walk up to people and say, "Hi, have you got a couple minutes? I'd like to tell you about Jesus." And there's nothing wrong with that. It is one way of witnessing, and that's fine. I remember I got to hurry up, but years and years ago, we'd gone to, the Peacemakers had gone to sing to do a revival at a Baptist church up that direction, miles away, and so they did this Saturday thing, this outreach to youth, and they basically went out and convinced teenagers to just come back to church, like, hey, come back with me, I want you to meet these guys, and then we were in room somewhere, and they'd kind of bring them in, like, here, these are the Peacemakers, talk to these guys, and then we were like, hi, have a seat, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. And it was like that thing about skinning bears, you know, like, here, you skin this one, I'll go get another one, and they just run them in. And so, I mean, people gave their heart to Jesus, but it was like, okay. Anyway, okay. So that's witnessing in a way, but that's not necessarily what Jesus had in mind, or at least not all he had in mind. So allow me to let you in on just a little secret when it comes to this. The root of the Greek word that Luke used for witness, and I didn't put this on the screen because hardly any of you are Greek. So anyway, but the word witness, martus, or witnesses, is the word from which we get our English word martyr. And you shall be martyrs when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Kind of changes the impact, doesn't it? Changes the read just a little. A martyr is someone who dies or is killed for their belief. A martyr gives their life for a cause or a belief or for another. And the word originally came from a Greek legal term for someone giving testimony in a court of law. So if you find that root word and look through the scripture, then you're going to find witness, you're going to find testimony, testify, all those words. But then eventually, in part because Christians were constantly being put on trial for their faith and giving testimony of Jesus as Savior and Messiah and risen Lord, and doing that in the face of torture and death, the word came to mean one who gives witness to Jesus in the highest possible way by their life and their death. So what's next? What now? Jesus said, you'll be witnesses, you'll be martyrs. And it's not inconsistent with what Jesus had already taught. So Luke tells us in Luke 9, Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will save it. And so that's what it means to be a witness. That's what it means to be a martyr. But we're not physically dying today, hopefully. Nobody's going to come in and line us all up and execute us this morning. But we're dying to ourselves. We're dying to our own desires and choices today. That happens daily because we lose our life for his sake and we find it as we serve him. So with the Holy Spirit's power and help, we choose Jesus over self. We die to our desires and live for him. We do this understanding that what he desires for us is the best. It's the path to life, to fulfillment, to completion, satisfaction, actualization, whatever word you want to use. What he desires for us is what we were really meant to be. So people are like, well, I'm trying to find my true self. You know how to find your true self? Give yourself to Jesus, the one who created you and designed you with a plan and with a purpose. That's what Nancy was kind of referring to there. Students are trying to find themselves. You're going to find yourself in Jesus. When you do that and lose yourself in him, you find out who he created you to be and designed you with purpose and with his plan and his blessing. What he desires for us is what we were really meant to be. When we say, I know best, you know, and tell God that, imagine that, but we do it. Well, I think I know best. I know what's best for me. That usually leads to disappointment and disaster, but following Jesus and surrendering your life to him, losing your life for him, he says that's how you find your life, and it leads to salvation and to peace because he knows best. So becoming a witness for Jesus is not frightening, it's fulfilling, it's liberating. We don't have to fear becoming a martyr because actually we've already been dying to self every day and being made alive in Christ by the Holy Spirit. And think of this, the same time we die to self, His resurrection power is giving us new life. So the more I say no to Phil, the more I become who Phil really is as Jesus, and the resurrection power of Christ is at work in my life. This is how I come to completion and maturity, how I really discover value and worth is because I give myself to Jesus. So that's one aspect of this. So what does it look like then for us to truly be his witnesses? Because Jesus said you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses. Well, three things I want us to see this morning. First of all, his witnesses embody the message and character of Jesus. It's more than telling the message, but we bear the message in ourselves and in our own life. It's thinking of our teachers. So if you're teaching in a public school right now, then you can't go in the first day and say, I'd like to tell all of you that if you don't turn to Jesus, you're all going to go to hell. You'll have a teacher meeting pretty quick. And so there's some things you can't do, but what you can do is you can embody the message and character of Jesus and cause people then to say, I don't know what it is, but I'd like to be more like you. I see something in you that I want to emulate. It's more than telling, it's bearing the message in our lives. Jesus came to save and to give new life and to bring hope and salvation and forgiveness and peace and transformation among a host of other things. And and we're to bear that message in our lives. You know the saying, from what I can find, it was kind of falsely attributed to St. Francis of Assisi. There's no record that he ever said it, but it looks good on Facebook. Preach the gospel and when necessary use words. You've heard that, and everybody says St. Francis said it. The truth is, God bless St. Francis, he and the birds or whatever, but anyway, he's always kind of pictured feeding a bird, isn't he, or something? Anyway. The truth is, Frank, if I may, imagine people said that to St. Francis. Can I be frank with you for just a minute? The truth is, Francis, you have to use words, okay? You just have to. But the point is to make sure your words and your deeds and actions match up. All right? That's where we get in trouble. And so if your words say, Jesus is Lord, and I love Jesus, and I'm a servant of his, but you live like the devil and mistreat people, and you're stealing from widows and taking advantage of orphans, and you're living some kind of horrible life, guess what? You're not his witness. You may be bearing witness to something, but you're not a witness for Jesus. I don't care. He's kind of a baby Christian. No, that's not how this works. If you're living like the devil, then just saying something doesn't make, you understand what I'm saying. So use words, but make sure your words and your witness are measuring up. His witness embodies his message and character. Paul says, God called and predestined us to be made conformable, to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Friends, we're supposed to be image bearers of Jesus. That's at school, that's at work, that's in the neighborhood, that's when you deal with that really cranky lady next door and the guy that keeps blowing his grass over on your driveway or whatever. We're supposed to look like Jesus to all those people. The guy who brings his dogs over to your yard to fertilize or whatever. It doesn't matter. We're supposed to be like Jesus, image bearers of Jesus. People are supposed to look at us and see Jesus through our words and deeds. Look at this. Paul said we were to be living epistles. Epistles were letters, and we've got these letters known and read by everyone. 2 Corinthians 3 says, you show that you are a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, and on tablets, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. You are a letter from Jesus. That worries me just a little bit this morning. Doesn't it you? That Jesus has sent out an appeal letter, or he sent out a letter to the world, and he said, I'm going to write it, and I'm going to give Phil Taylor to the world to read. Well, that's a mistake, Lord. I'm just going to tell you right now, you should have found somebody more legible. somebody that can read what Jesus said a little plainer than me. St. Francis, for instance, he'd be a good guy, but maybe not me. What we say, how we live and act, how we respond, how we behave every minute of every day should bear witness to Jesus. So listen to me again. If people are reading your life like a letter from Jesus, what is he saying through you? And I shudder to think what message they receive from my life sometimes. So think of it that way. Jesus is saying you'll receive power and you'll be image bearers of me, of my character, of my nature and my gospel, and you'll bear that, you'll deliver that message to the world. Wow. What a responsibility he gave to us. And once again, it's not about living for ourselves, pleasing ourselves. It's about others. It's about Jesus and bearing his image and his message, delivering the mail and character of Jesus so others can know him. Jesus promised power so we could go into the whole world and proclaim Jesus, because he doesn't want anyone to perish or to be lost. He wants everyone to know him and the joy of his salvation and the forgiveness of sins. Being a witness is about others. The baptism in the Holy Spirit and spiritual empowerment, it's about others. I want to make sure we get this. It's not just to give us more tools in our spiritual toolbox. It is that, but it's spiritual power so we can bring the good news to others. It's not so we can check the box of spiritual experiences or so we could just speak in tongues all the time, but it's power to go and serve and win others. And even the spiritual gifts, like Tim talked about Monday and Tuesday night in our conference, even those spiritual gifts, remember Paul said they're given for the common good. They weren't given to make us prove our spiritual maturity or make us look good. Instead, the gifts of the Spirit are given for others, for the common good, to build up, encourage, exhort, edify. So it's about serving, it's about others, and that's the nature and character of Jesus. And that's the image we're to bear. And the power of the Holy Spirit is there to help us to give ourselves to others and to be the martyr and to be the witness and to serve others, bringing Jesus to others. Remember, Jesus said the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's the image that we're bearing to others. This is about serving others and blessing others. So what's it mean for us to be his witnesses? The second thing is his witnesses represent Jesus, his kingdom, and its values. We live in a world that's blind to God's truth, ignorant of his word. We live in a system and a culture that places profit and possessions over people, that rewards and celebrates greed and blind ambition over sacrifice and service, that prefers strength over wisdom, appearance over substance, ability over character, a culture where the end justifies any and all means. And we, the followers of Jesus, represent a king and a kingdom with an entirely different set of values, an entirely different paradigm and perspective. We live as representatives, as citizens of heaven's kingdom, and we're serving heaven's king. We're representatives of the king. And our king chooses to serve rather than to be served. Our king, though, in very nature, I mean, think about it. You remember years ago, you know, a guy wrote a book about living like king's kids or whatever, and it was all kind of part of that prosperity gospel that we ought to have this and all this. And the response to that is, what kind of king are you talking about? Because if you're talking about worldly kings, you know, if you're talking about, you know, a Saudi Arabian prince, well, then, yeah, we ought to all be, you know, flying our own jets and, you know, driving to church in our Bentley or whatever. But that's not our king, right? That's the world's king, you know. But, man, we serve a different king. He's the one who wrapped a towel around his waist and washed feet. It's a whole different kingdom and a whole different king. Our king, Paul writes in Philippians 2, though in very nature God, for us and for our salvation, chose to make himself nothing and took on the very nature of a servant and humbled himself and became obedient to death. Paul says even death on a cross. We're his representatives. We're his subjects. We're the citizens of his kingdom, and we're to live like him by his values and according to his standards. We live like new citizens of his kingdom. I've seen just in the last couple of weeks, in fact, they showed new citizens here in Tulsa taking the oath of citizenship or whatever in Tulsa, and I don't know that I've ever read exactly what what they are saying I do to or whatever. So I, according to the immigration and whatever that website was, I looked up, here's what they're saying yes to. I hereby declare on oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that I'll bear true faith and allegiance to the same, then I'll bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law, that I'll perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by the law, that I'll perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law, and that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, so help me God. And we say, I do to all that. As Jesus witnesses, he said, you'll be my witnesses. We pledge our allegiance to him and to his kingdom and its values. And just that first line up there, then our choice is to hereby declare on oath that we absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been a subject or citizen. We used to live for self. We used to live for ourselves. We live for the world. We live for the devil. We live for appetite. We live for motives and goals that were not pleasing to the Lord. We lived by the distorted, messed up values of the world. But Jesus saved us and delivered us from a kingdom of darkness and death and brought us through grace into his kingdom of light and life. And friends, what I'm saying is, as his witnesses, we need to renounce sin and our allegiance to anything and anyone other than Jesus. It's time for us to live for him and to live like him and to live by his values. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we represent a new king. We represent his kingdom as his witnesses. And as his witnesses, we love our enemies and pray for them instead of mocking them or cursing them or wishing them evil. We bear witness to Jesus in his kingdom as we forgive those who wrong us or persecute us. We're his witnesses as we joyfully carry someone's burden, even somebody we really don't like that much, but we carry their burden the second mile. We turn the other cheek. We represent Jesus as we give to the needy and we feed the hungry and we welcome the stranger and we visit the prisoner and we defend the widow and the orphan and we fight for the oppressed. The Word of God is the Constitution to which we pledge allegiance, and we represent his kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And our life, lived by the power of the Holy Spirit, points to Jesus, and it represents Jesus and his kingdom, and it lets everyone know that we're citizens of another kingdom. You ought to say amen to that. That's what he's calling us to. We don't live like the rest of the world. We bear witness to Jesus, our unique Savior and King. The world walks in darkness, but we're children of the kingdom of light, and we need to let his light shine through us as his representative, as his witnesses, and the power of the Holy Spirit is there to make us that kind of witness, witness to the one who is the King and a different kingdom. So the power of the Spirit is given to us so we can be witnesses. And what does that mean? What's next? What now? We're bearers of Jesus' image and character. We're representatives of his kingdom and its values. And finally, his witnesses proclaim Jesus and his message. What's next? What now? Well, we tell the story. We look for opportunities to proclaim Jesus and his story, not just with bearing that image, but we are looking for an opportunity to actually proclaim his message. It's what Peter did immediately after being baptized in the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. What's next? A huge crowd gathers. They're hearing these people honoring Jesus, and they're praising God in languages they didn't know. And Peter stands before them, emboldened by the power of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to proclaim Jesus to them. And think about it, moments before this experience, Peter and the disciples are doing their best to avoid the authorities that had arrested Jesus and had him crucified. They're thinking they're probably coming for us next. And now, just as Jesus promised, empowered by the Holy Spirit, they stand together in the marketplace, stand together in public as his witnesses to proclaim the gospel. And if you read chapter 2 of Acts in Peter's message, he tells them Jesus had been sent by God. He was confirmed to be the Messiah by signs and wonders that he performed among you. He said, we've all been witnesses to that. We've all seen some of the miracles that have been done. There were no doubt people standing among them that had been healed, blind eyes opened, or a lame man that could walk, or whatever, lepers that were cleansed that were even in the crowd that day. And so it's pretty hard to say, I don't believe any of that. And the guy next to you said, well, I was born blind. Jesus touched me, and now I can see. Oh, well. Okay, well, that's not what I heard. Well, I'm standing right here. So anyway, so he says, look, we all know this. We've seen this. And without hesitation, then Peter says, but guys, you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him on the cross. Talk about boldness, all right? He's just calling them out. You, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead. And Peter says, and all of us standing here, we're eyewitnesses to that. We've seen him, talked with him, had dinner with him, you know, spent time with him, and we watched him ascend to the Father. He continues to testify of Jesus, telling them that they had been with the risen Christ. And with new spiritual understanding then of the scripture, Peter says, and this is what's happening, and this is how it all fits, and this is what David said. But he was talking about Jesus, and Jesus is the Messiah, and he's the one that God has brought to us. And so he explains all that. And as Peter preaches this gospel and tells them about Jesus, the people are convicted in their hearts, and they finally say, well, what can we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit too. And 3,000 people heard and accepted his message that day and were saved and baptized. Witness. Proclaim Jesus. Bear his image. Live like you're a citizen of his kingdom, and then speak it. Peter simply stood up and told what he knew about Jesus. It was the gospel. It was Jesus' story, but it's Peter's story as well. It's what he's called us to do as his witnesses. Don't be afraid to tell others. It's just that simple. Here's my story in light of his greater story. Here's what Jesus has done for me. Here's how his saving grace changed my life. Here is what I know. And as we tell his story, then he does the rest. Well, I'm not sure. I don't know how to bring somebody. I don't know how to lead in a prayer and all that. You don't have to do that. Just tell them. Just tell them about Jesus. Tell them how Jesus changed your life. He confirms his word, his story, with power, with signs and wonders, with changed lives, with miracles, with healing, with peace. Tim Inlow the other day showed me a little clip of a miracle that had happened with Jack Coe, who was a healing revivalist back in the 40s, I guess, 40s and 50s, and had prayed for a lady that had a tumor on her face. And as there's actually video of it, and as he prays for her, this just falls off in his hand. And he says, look, Mom, look right there. There it is right there in my hand. And so he showed that little clip at a church here in town, in fact, some years ago. And he said, a lady came to him after service crying, and she said, that was my grandmother. She said, I've never seen that, but that was my grandmother my whole life. I've heard about that miracle of my grandma. And she said, my grandma kept that tumor in a little jar of formaldehyde. And she said, and, I mean, like, didn't matter. Like, somebody coming to the door, you know, like selling vacuum cleaners, and she'd say, sure, come on in. Let me show you what Jesus did for me. You know, that fell off my face. Maybe you don't have anything in a jar to show them, but and I wouldn't recommend that, but everybody's got a story to tell. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you about his grace. Let me tell you, you know, you don't have to show them the scars, but let me tell you how Jesus brought me through this. Let me tell you the difference he made when I went through this moment. I couldn't have made it without Jesus. We just tell, here's what I know. Here's what Jesus has done for me. So empowered by the Holy Spirit, a witness is one who's willing to take up his cross and lay down his life for Jesus. It's about surrender. And a witness is one who embodies the message and character of Jesus, who represents his kingdom and its values, and who proclaims Jesus in his message. This is the what's next for all of us. It's what we've been called and empowered to do. It's the reason he's poured his spirit upon us, so we can take Jesus and his good news to our world. We're the letter from Christ being read by the whole world. So let me ask you this morning, how are you doing with being his message? How are we doing as being his witnesses? Are we bearing his image? Are we communicating the right stuff in the right moment? Are we obeying and serving, going while there's time? And if the letter from Christ that others are reading through your life, if it doesn't look like it should, if the words and the actions don't all match up, why not take care of that today as you just surrender your life fully to Jesus, right? It's about dying to self and living to him. And if the letter from, again, it's not just about you. It's about others that are reading that letter, that are being influenced by you in your life. So what kind of influence are we having? Are we faithful witnesses for Jesus? That's the question. So let's stand together this morning. I want us to just take a moment to examine our hearts. If you're here this morning and you know that the letter of your life and the letter that Jesus is trying to speak through you, that it's not matching up with, you know, with your actions and your lifestyle and your behavior, then I just encourage you to reach out to him this morning. You could come just slip down to an altar to pray. You can come stand there. We'll pray with you. But if there's something you need to deal with this morning, then I just encourage you to come and to respond to him today, to open your heart to him. Have you got a word for us this morning? Have you got a mic there? Let's just open our hearts this morning.
Saw and felt the word witness. It was so clear. And my eyes saw a field white, yes, with wheat. I'm from that kind of a family, and I know about wheat. And it was everywhere. And it was, the fields were loaded. And that kernel of wheat that is in there is life. And that's every soul that God has, sort of like we're saying, that we need to be the witness to. You did have proclaim what you hear. And I just feel so strongly that I need to say that, proclaim. That's what we go to work with in this field, is our mouth and his word. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Lord, we receive that word this morning, that we are given an opportunity to proclaim, to speak with our mouth, and to bear witness through our life that Jesus is exactly who he says he is, Savior, Messiah, Lord. You're deliverer. You're the one that makes sense out of all the stuff that doesn't make sense. You're the one that brings hope to the hopeless. You're the one that can change us. You can move us from a kingdom of darkness and death to light and life. And Lord, people are perishing without that news. It's good news. That's what the word gospel means. It's good news. We don't need to be hesitant about sharing good news with somebody. We shouldn't be reluctant to share good news with somebody. They're waiting to hear good news. Lord, we heard a missionary tell us just a couple weeks ago about someone that had lived 6 or 7 years in America as an immigrant, as a Muslim, who had never even been invited to church. No one had ever even said, would you like to come to church? Would you like to know something about Jesus, about the one I serve? Oh, Lord, indeed, you said the fields were white unto harvest. We need to open our eyes and see, but then we need to respond. Lord, bearing the message, embodying the message in our life, it doesn't let us off the hook from letting that light be seen. It doesn't let us off the hook from proclaiming Jesus. It's just a part of how the word and our actions and our life and lifestyle all match up. And sometimes we have to deny ourselves, and sometimes it's not pleasant, and sometimes we'd rather do this and do that, Lord, but we stop and realize, but you know what? That doesn't match up with what I say, and what I say doesn't match up with what you call me to do. And so, Lord, I want my life to be whole. I want my life to be pleasing to you. I want to bear your image and be your witness. And the power of the Holy Spirit comes to do that. So Holy Spirit, empower us to be that letter from Christ that the world can read. Empower us to bring the gospel to others, family, friends, coworkers, colleagues, classmates, whatever it is. Help us to find those ways to let Jesus be seen loud and large in our life, loving others, serving others, making a difference in our world because we've experienced your grace, your mercy. We've been changed by our encounter with you and by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us. We know it today to be true that we will receive power and we will be your witnesses. We will be that letter that others can read. Let us be faithful in doing it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I thank you for it, Lord.
Go in my name and I will go with you and I will work in that field with you and you with me and we can glean a harvest that's ready and ripe, ready to burst with life. Go with me, Jesus says, and I will go with you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's what he promised us. We were to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to tell others about Jesus, to make disciples. And then he said, and I'm with you always. And that harvest, I've forgotten a lot of things. I've never forgotten Brian Davenport standing here as a student at ORU, and I don't know where he heard it, but he said, ripe for destruction and ripe for judgment smell the same. We talk a lot about, oh, this old world, it's so wicked, it's, man, judgment's coming. But it's ripe for harvest. It may be ripe for judgment, but it's ripe for harvest. All these broken hearts and broken lives and fractured psyches and everything else, are they just ready for somebody to come tell them about Jesus? And there's hope for you. And it doesn't have to be as confusing as it seems to be. There's hope for you. Just let me tell you how he's shown me the way and the life. He's the truth. Let's see if we can't share that with others. Would you just take one more 30-second section of time here to say, Jesus, show me how to be the witness I must be to those in my world. Lord, show me how to do it. Give me the courage, give me the strength, and help me be the witness you call us to be. The fields are wide in the harvest. It's ripe for destruction, but boy, it's ripe for harvest. And we've got opportunity, we've got means, Lord, through all kinds of technology of getting the gospel to the whole world. Lord, help us to go, to give, to serve, to obey, to proclaim, to live, to do all you've called us to do while there's still time. Night's coming when no one can work, but right now it's day, and right now we can serve you. Lord, let us be faithful to do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. And amen. Thanks for being here. Let's go live large for Jesus. Let's be the witnesses he's called us to be. Bless you. We'll see you Wednesday night. Things are back to normal. Have a great week.